for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, July the 2nd, 2001. Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Kevin Wise Carver is the minister of the morning.
I just want to say today is a privilege and an honor to get to be here with you, just to be a servant this week to men and women and boys and girls. I'm kind of like Paul today. I've been the least among you, but God can use even the least. Because he said when we was weak, he'd make us strong. I don't know if it's ever been done before, but I feel God today. I'm going to give you three messages, but I'd like to speak to, just for a few minutes this morning, however like God leads, on three different things. It might be only God knows what he's going to do this morning. I learned a few years ago not to try to figure out God, just to flow with him and let him do whatever he wants. But it's kind of ironic when Sister Bayes, you called me and told me what the theme of the camp was. It seemed like about 8 months ago, God really did something in my life and showed me that it is truly all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. That in a lot of times, even the church world and even pastors today, that we're going about things all the wrong way. And we're, you know, not that schooling and knowledge and books and everything else is bad, but it's good. But sometimes we can get caught up in so much of wanting to run here and there and trying to do this and that with man's ideology and all this man's, what I call stinking thinking, that we leave out God. And God all the time is sitting up there, I believe, tears around his eyes with his arms folded and said, oh, I wonder when will they ever learn that it's all about me. And one morning about 8 months ago, I was in my office and I was praying, and it seemed like God said, get your Bible. And I got my Bible and he said, you turn to Ephesians. I want you to turn to Ephesians with me this morning. And God started pouring some things in me because I was going through a rough time. How many in here this morning has been going through a rough time? There's a lot of Christian people today that's got a desire to serve God, that's sold out, but yet we're going through dry spells. We're going through, as our brother preached last night, it just seemed like God quickened this in me last night as he was preaching. He said, you just need to follow up with this right here this morning. God's got something that he's building. It's going to get mightier each night. And that whoever finishes this thing up, God's going to use mighty because he's stored the word up for us and we're learning. He said he'd build it, give it to us line upon line, precept upon precept, faith unto faith and glory unto glory. That's not, if the glory was to fall today, let's not get satisfied with it. Let's come in here tonight wanting more of God's glory. But in the first chapter of Ephesians, around the 17th verse, God had me look at this. And he said, I want you to look at it, my son. That morning, I was just walking back and forth crying and sobbing in God. And he said, look at 17. He said, well, let me start at 15. He said, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks in the making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who? Of him. He said, look, I'm trying to show you something. My word is plain. He said, it's in him. It's in him. He said, you are praying in the wrong way. He says, you're praying, God, give me wisdom to lead this church. Give me wisdom, God, to lead these people here and lead me. He said, it's not in that. He said, if you'll get a fresh revelation of me and me crucified and me on the throne and what I am to you and what you are in me, bless God, you won't have to be reading this and reading that, because let me tell you, Paul said, when he come back from the desert, he said, I'm telling you, I haven't read this. Man hasn't taught me this. But I come to you in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost, because he had been with Jesus and he had a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And people say, oh, for years it's been preached that Paul was sick. But I got news for you, friends, and some of you may have an argument with me this morning. But Paul was not sick. He couldn't have been sick, limping around or blind, and go everywhere he went and do all the things he did for Jesus Christ. The Bible simply says that he sent a messenger from Satan to buffet him. That was his thorn in the flesh.
It's all about Jesus. Let me tell you, if me and you would get a revelation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the devil would be trying to stop me and you too. We would have be coming against persecution if you lift the word up. God, I worship you. Buffet. That word means to come against, literally with an open hand or a fist. They come against Paul, literally. We got a lot of people coming against us today, but they're coming against us through the law, through this, through that. But they're not really. Every once in a while, you never hear many. It happens every once in a while that somebody comes in and just tries to stop somebody from preaching, especially in other countries. Let me tell you what we need today. And he says, go on a little further. And he said in 18, he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His, not your calling, His calling. He created us for beings to praise and to worship Him, to fellowship, to Him to come walk with us every day of our lives and commune with Him and love Him. The hope of His calling. What are the riches of His glory in the inheritance in the saints? You know what Jesus' inheritance is? It's you and it's me. It's the saints of God that He came. That's why He come and died, to destroy the works of the devil, that we might be saved. We may live in glory with Him forever and ever. I ask the question a lot of times, do you know what's better than you going to heaven? It's taking somebody with you. But you know what's worse than going to hell? Us living a backslidden, lukewarm life and carrying a bunch of people to hell with us. We, the church of Jesus Christ, needs a fresh revelation of Him crucified today as Paul. We got too many people today, folks, that get saved. And they say, bless God, God's called me to preach and God's called me to be a missionary. And they get out on the field and they get knocked down and they're just destroyed. But what we need is people to say, yes, I've been called. But you know something? We're going to have to sit down and be taught. And we've got to learn. We're going to have to get that relationship, because Paul, he tried it. He got saved. What was the first thing he did? We read in the Word, he went and got on the streets. Bless God, he tried to preach, but would they hear him? No. Because he had too much of the law in him, and he knew the Word of God by the letter. I don't believe there was any maybe two or three people as smart as he was back then. He knew the letter of the Word, and he knew what the Word said. But it took him, he had to go back in the desert and spend 3.5 years with just him and God. And when he come back, when he preached, he not only preached with authority, he preached with clarity. He preached because he had a revelation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. how many believe what I'm saying today is true? It said, which He worked in Christ. Well, I skip one. 19. And what is that exceedingly greatness of His power towards us who believed according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in the age, but also in the, hallelujah, in the one to come. And He put all what? Things under His feet and gave Him to be the what? Head over the church. Who is the church today? It's not these four walls. I'm going to talk about the church in a minute on the next phase. But you and I are the church of Jesus Christ today. And He's given us the authority. He's put Him over us. He says all things to the church, which is His body. The what? Fullness of Him who fills all in all. Did you get a hold of that? There is nothing that us Christians, when we set our minds to doing, as God has told us, that we cannot do. All things are possible with Christ who strengthens me. Do you believe that today? God, when I got to that scripture, He said, the only way that people or this world is going to see my glory manifested is through you, through my people. And He said, if we don't hurry up and get it, for a lot of people, it's going to be too late. And when they do see the glory of God, He said every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. We just sung it. But it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. We need a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified if we're going to show the love, if we're going to show the glory of God, if we're going to show the manifested presence and walk in the power and the anointing of God. How many still believe you could have enough of God that when you walk down the sidewalks in the supermarket, people get healed when they get in your shadow? God's no respecter of a person. If it happened then, bless God, if you'll walk with Him like they walk with Him, you can do it too. Yes. we can do it too. Oh, God, I worship you. How many know the church has a mission? The church has a mission. I want to tell you what the church is. And today, it's what's the matter with the church, because we've got all kinds of definitions today of what the church is. The church is not these four walls here. When you look the word up, church, it means community. It means literally everywhere we go. You, the church. It don't matter where it is, wherever you. I believe we're living in the last days that this group of young people that's going to get on fire for God, and God's calling them out, it ain't going to be like the church of yesterday. Everywhere they go, they're going to have church. Because they're expecting. They've got the glory of God in them. I mean, there's nothing that they won't do for God. But the church is a body, the body of Christ, and a habitation of God through the Spirit, the divine appointment for the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Each believer born to the Spirit is an integral part of the church. The church is the firstborn, which is written in heaven. But you know what's sad? Most of the church does not know that. Most of the church does not know that. What we need is people to be trained. Let me tell you something. About 20 years ago, after the charismatic movement went through, I thank God for charismatic people. I tell us Pentecostal people, if we would have caught some of the things charismatic people had, the good and all that, and put it in with what they had, guess what? We could have exploded this world. We could have exploded this world, but we didn't. We said, oh, they're fanatics. They're off and down. They're this, they're that. But we should have embraced them. Because I remember when some of the disciples pulled Jesus off to the side and they said, hey, Jesus, look at them. They're over there doing what we're doing. He says, let them alone. He said, if they be for us, they're not against us. They're just doing it different. Let me tell you something. Difference don't make division. We've got to learn that. It's because you don't understand my way and how God uses me. Don't mean I'm divided from you. I'm a part of the body of Christ. And God needs to use all. That's what He's trying to do. He's trying to bring us into unity. That's what the church is all about. He said He gives some what? Apostles, some preachers, some teachers, some prophets. The fivefold ministry. And I believe it ought to be in every church. Working as God wills, not man. I've seen a lot that tried to, a few that I've been in. And it tore the church up because things got to people's heads. But God give them to the church. And I believe they can work in every church if it's according to God. And man's not in it. How many believe that today? It ought to be working in our church. Every church. Not just tongues interpretation. Everywhere you go, you hear tongues interpretation. Thank God for tongues interpretation. He wants some to prophesy. He wants some to raise the dead. He wants some teachers and some apostles that can set people straight. And show them this is the way the Word says to have church. Oh, God. Help me. We got a lot of people today. I told one guy talking to him yesterday, a brother back here, that we got a lot of people that's wise and with wisdom. But let me tell you something. You can have all the knowledge in the world. But my Bible says without understanding it's vain. We got a lot of people running around that's high-minded and got a lot of knowledge. And they know a lot about this Word. But they do not have no understanding because they cannot apply it to their life. They're not walking where my Bible says you can walk. I want to show it to you. Turn to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24 and verse 3 says, praise God. If you found it, say amen. It says, through wisdom, a what? House is built. And by what? Understanding, it is. You can build a lot of things by knowledge and or by wisdom. But let me tell you something. For that thing to be established, you're going to have some understanding. And then 4 says, by knowledge, though, the rooms are what? Filled with what? All precious and pleasant riches. Hallelujah. How many want some wisdom today? How many want some understanding? Ooh, how many want some knowledge, though? I think sometimes we get so caught up in the first things. Thank God for past revelation. But what we need is some new revelation.
Amen.
What we need is new revelation. And just because we get new revelation, it doesn't maybe don't contradict the old. It's just adding to it. And we need to learn to get out of the what God said 40 years ago, or 30, or 5, or yesterday even. God may have moved you already. He might want something different today. But what we need is to go on with God. Don't stop. Everywhere I read in the Old Testament where the glory went, let me tell you, when it stopped, they camped. But let me tell you, I believe about every time they got comfortable, the glory of God moved. And they had to pick up camp and follow it if they wanted to stay in the glory of God.
We've got a lot of churches in America today that the glory has moved down the road in another area. You know what they said? Oh, God, we like this. They're not liking what God's feeding them today. We need to learn to eat the manna that God's dropping out today. I'll tell you something today. You might, today, I might say some things you don't understand. Some of you might be, I learned a long time ago not to worry about that, because some of you today, I'm sowing seed. Some of you today, I am watered. And some of you today, God's going to bring the increase. Man doesn't bring the increase. God will. So if you don't understand today some things I'm talking about, that's all right. It's seed are being sowed. Seed are being sowed today. Oh, God, I worship you. But the mission of the church, let me tell you, though just a while back, about 4 months ago, I was in a prayer meeting. And all one night, at the Friday night, I was in prayer meeting. God was speaking just one little phrase to me. And He says, I'm calling my church higher. I'm calling you higher. I'm calling you higher. And I'm just going, God, you know. And so now God starts speaking. We go to God, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Show me. He said, I'm calling the church higher. Let me tell you something. I asked my mother this a long time. My mother is a saint and a warrior of God, and is a called teacher. She knows the Word of God. But even my own mother is stuck in some tradition and things in her life. And sometimes I go home, and sometimes my wife said, don't go home this weekend when we go and upset your mother. You know, I've learned that thought around. I just bring her scripture, and I say, Mama, read over here and read over here. Don't talk to me. Talk to God. That's what you have to do, people. You know, don't argue with people. Say, they're not going to accept it. They're not going to accept it. Let God deal with them. But we're stuck in tradition. We need to let go of that. But God was saying, I'm calling you higher. And I say, Mom, let me ask you something. I know you had a prayer life. You taught me to pray. I remember the times in the night, you in the bathroom and wailing over the tub and crying out to God for hours. I could hear my mother praying and seeking God for my brothers that's still in sin today. But let me tell you something. My mother taught me how to pray. My mother taught me how to believe. My mother taught me how to trust in God. But I tell her, I said, Mom, if that didn't change the world, what do you want me to do it your way for? You ever thought about that? The people that's teaching you, if they're not changing the world, if they're not impacting the world, I'm talking about like the disciples and Jesus walked the earth. Why do you want to follow them for? Come on, think about it. What do you want to go to psychiatrist for and talk to them about your problems when the average doctor and lawyer and them people like that dying at 45 years old tell you how to eat? You live for God. Pray over your food and thank God. Don't bless the food. It's already blessed. Just thank God for provision and the meal on your plate and what He's given you. And bless God, you're going to live if you obeyed your mom and your daddy. He says that's the only promise of a long life, isn't it? Let's quit listening to other people, especially doctors and lawyers and all these things. But God said He's calling us higher. I want to tell you today, the three things that God showed me that God's calling us higher in, there's three missions of the church. I mean, it consists in these three things. There's a lot more of them. But mainly in these three, and then you can break down as many of them as you want to. But the main sole purpose of the three things of the church, it says, since God's purpose concerning the church is to seek and to save which is lost, to be worshipped by men, and build a body of believers in the image of God. The first thing God told me, I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And verse 9, that's not right. I wrote it down wrong. Praise God. Brother Glenn hit me on the spot yesterday. I told him, I said, well, God, it's not going to be many scriptures because I'm just going to have to quote them to him and not tell them where they're at because I hadn't had time to write them down. But God said, right here somewhere, He said first, talking about the first commandment, He said that when you hearken My voice and do My commandments diligently, love Me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. He said none of these diseases would even come nigh thee. Did He say that? 6:4? I knew it was right there somewhere. 4 and 5. Excuse me. In all those days, preparation you shall eat nothing. Oh, I'm in the wrong. No wonder. I'm in Numbers. Excuse me. My pages turned on me. I'm walking around here. I'm sorry. Praise God. Okay. Yes, I wanted another scripture there too, though. That is that one. I want you to turn to 7 and 9. That is the right scripture. I want to show you something. 7 and 9. Excuse me here. How many know we all make mistakes? Now, therefore,
Know that the Lord your God, He is what? God. There is none even beside Him, the Word says. I'm always praying that. The faithful God who keeps what? Covenant. And mercy for a what? Thousand generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. Let me tell you, the first thing God said, the pattern, is the reason we're not the church that He wants us to be, is He's calling us back to a love relationship. As our brother said last night in Revelation, he said to one of the churches that, what? He said he had somewhat against them because they had what? Lost their first love. You know, a lot of people today, one of the main things, I'm real good friends with a couple of Jewish people. One especially, Brother Dale Cohen, I don't know if you know him, but he tells me, and he's been teaching me for 2 or 3 years now, but he said one of the worst things about Christianity, he said, quote, he said, because the Jewish people look and see, we're supposed to be one of our jobs today is, as Gentiles, is to make the Jewish people jealous for God, to bring them back to God. But he says, we say we love Him, but he said, is that enough? He says, no. He said, God said He loved you with all your mind, and then so we say, well, God, we love Him. We love Him with all our mind. We love Him with all our heart, our soul. But is that enough? No. Because He says what they never see is the strength part. They're never doing nothing. They're never trying to find out so they can minister to Jewish people. Know nothing about our history and where we came from. So I was telling one brother today, I know people that spent their half of their life going here and there in the countrysides and all the world trying to find and writing their history or their tree and seeing where they came from. But we don't bother looking and researching in the Word of God and seeing where we come from as a body of believers. The day of Pentecost wasn't birthed Gentiles speaking in tongues. It was Jewish people speaking in other tongues as the God giving the utterance. And we wonder where we are. I'm saying we need to get in God's Word and find out what He's called us to. And I told somebody today, one of the greatest things the devil stole from the church is the dance, our love, and our relationship with Him. God had me over 2 years where I was pastoring, and I just resigned over about 3 months ago that the people was getting frustrated with me because they thought I was redundant, just preaching in circles, but I wasn't, because God told me, and I'd cry over there, and I'd say, God, why am I always the bad person? Lord, I need something else to preach to these people. And He said, listen, until you get this, you can do nothing else for me. He said, because that is the first commandment. And He said, if the first commandment is not in place, the second or the third or none of the rest of them will be. Relationship. It's all about Jesus. Relationship. That's what God is calling us to. Relationship. Relationship. Oh, God, I worship You, Jesus. Let me find another scripture here real quick. Holy God. Holy God. Holy God. You say, as maybe some people do, well, Brother Kevin, tell me something out of the New Testament. My mother gets on to me sometimes. She says, son, won't you preach something out of the New? I said, Mom, you can't have the New unless you know the Old. How many know that? Jewish people say, well, what's wrong with Christianity is they started at the back of the book. We need to know it all. Everything in here is inspired by God. But Matthew 22, you know where it's at. Chapter 22 and verse 37 says, Jesus said to them, you shall what? Love your God, your Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first, what? And great commandment. The second one is likened to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Let me tell you something. The Ten Commandments of God wasn't some bunch of... He didn't give those to us because He did not like us, and it was some kind of rules and regulations we was going to have to go by. It was a love letter from God. Because He loved us enough that He said, I'm going to give you some things here, and if you'll follow these here, you won't be beating up on each other. You won't be killing each other. You won't be talking about your neighbor. You won't be doing all these fighting against all these other churches. But your love, as I've said, look, the greatest one is love. He said if you give your body to be burned, if you have all the gifts, if you do all these other things but have not love, what is it? It's all in vain, isn't it? It's nothing. It's about nothing. I believe today That's the reason so many people, and I believe the church world, are sick. They're afflicted. They're up and they're down one day. Let me tell you, I don't believe Christian people are to be up one day and down the next. I don't care what valley you're in, how sick you are, whatever's wrong with you, you can be on top of whatever's wrong with you. We can have a joy within our soul. And the Bible says that passes all knowledge or all understanding. Ooh, hallelujah. Come on, he said that he wished we would prosper as our soul prospers. There's a lot of poor people today in our church world. But you know why they're poor? Because their soul is not prospering. If we'll grow in God and get a glimpse of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, bless God, I believe that everything will attach itself to you. Yes. You won't be wanting another. David said, as he quoted last night, our brother preaching, what? I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Ooh, I'm thankful today God has been showing Himself. Folks, I stepped out in faith, and people that knew us could not believe we left a good church and a good salary and this and that and didn't have to work to go to a church where, you know, they couldn't hardly pay us nothing but an expense check or this and that. But let me tell you something. Every week almost till this day for the last 3 months, God's been raining in some months $300 and $400 a week. Just people just come and say, God said, give you this. Give you this. I'm saying, I'm proving God. We got to step out in faith to prove God. We got to know His voice. Let me tell you, a lot of people are stepping out, but they're not hearing God. And He says, He was saying last night, they were flopping. But you know why a lot of Christian people flop today? They do not know the Word. And then when they hear that voice and it's not the Word, what can happen but fail? If we'll get in God's Word and know it, when the voice speaks, we'll know if it's God or not. Because He's not going to speak outside of His Word. Number two, I'm hurrying along here. If we've got the first commandment in place, let me tell you something. If we're in love with God, I'm talking about that right relationship. We're bubbling over. I mean, we are connected with the vine. I'm talking about life is in us. There's a smile on our face. There's power in our step. You're not going to have any problem evangelizing the world. You're not going to have any problem talking to your loved one. You're not going to have any problem talking to the one you sit by on the job and work with. It's going to be coming out of you. The right time and opportunities are going to avail themselves to you. You're going to be impacting the people around you. I mean, I told somebody the other day, I want to get so engulfed with God that everybody I meet, they'll either break, if they're not right, either break down in tears or they'll run away. And I've been preaching, there is coming a day in the church of Jesus Christ when people get behind the pulpit and preach, or the praise and worship goes forth, when the glory of God and the fire of God appears. People, they're not going to sit in our seats complacency, unright and in sin, but they're going to have to either run to the altar or they're going to run out because they cannot stand the power of God. How many believe that today? I'm telling you, God is fixing to birth something in us today, and we're going to see what the church of Jesus Christ needs to be. And until we've got the first commandment in place, the rest of them will not come to pass. Ooh, come on now. Come on, help me. Thirdly, after we've got it in place, the first commandment, after we start evangelizing, doing the Great Commission, guess what? God has called His people to be teachers. God has called His people to be mentors. And guess what that involves? God spoke to me a while back, a few months ago, and He says, there's a lot of pastors that don't want to change diapers. Yeah. And I'm saying, oh God, I'm squalling. You tell, I'm just, I don't know what it is, God, the last few years. I mean, He gets on me, all I can do is weep and cry because I know where He's brought me from. It's a miracle today that I got two lovely kids that love me and a wife that loved me for years. No, I've never hit them, never abusive that way and all, but I've learned for years I had a temper that would not quit. I could get mad. I mean, for years, it's a wonder I'm even living today, folks. Somebody had going to kill me because on jobs, and I work construction a lot, or used to, and I didn't care who he was. If he cussed me, I didn't think I had to take that stuff, but I learned that Jesus took it all. Yeah. And He didn't say a word. But I'd grab somebody up by the collar, care how big he was, and tell him I'd, you know, go knock him out or something. I just didn't like nobody talking bad to me. So I didn't think I'd ever quit. I'd leave jobs, just walk off a job. Had a wife and the kids at home. Left a lot of job, but God was merciful to me. I've never went hungry. God's always provided. But finally, one day He got through to me, and somebody told me, see, I didn't believe a lot of this stuff I see today and what this camp teaches. But my aunt told me for years, and I didn't agree with her. She said, Kevin, ain't something in you that needs to come out. And you know, I was taught in Assembly of God, born and raised. Bless God, when you're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, there's nothing in you. And she asked me, she said, where does that temper come from? She said, it didn't come from God. She said, there's something in you, boy, that needs to come out. And I used to argue with her. No, it just comes and goes. She said, no, it ain't don't come and go. That's in there. It's just lying dormant. She said, I'm telling you, you need to get that mess cast out of you. I'm going, sir. Oh, bless God. You're my aunt. I like you and all. She's been preaching 30 years. But I found out God had to get control of me. I didn't have control when I was mad like that. And let me tell you, a verbal abuse is worse than taking a knife and cutting somebody and killing them or blowing their brains out. We can destroy people's lives with our tongue. And the Bible says no man can tame it, but I know one that can. But you got to give it to him. You got to want to be delivered. You know, it feels good sometimes just to talk big. But like he said, and he was preaching to me last night, he says, you know, when the rejection and this talk comes to you, you got to learn to just shut up. Boy, I want to grip my teeth. Probably no enamel on my teeth the last few months. God's really, boy, I want to tell somebody something, and God be saying, no, you just shut up. There's no sense in talking to them people. If you're casting your pearls to the swine. Let me go on. But let me tell you something. We need people. It's not enough to the church to get the first three right, and then when we get down to the teacher and mentoring. Let me tell you something. We're good to stand up today and pick at our signs and go before the government, all this stuff about the abortions and about this and about that and killing all these things. But bless God, the Church of Jesus Christ is guilty today because people come and give their lives to God and they're nothing but babies. And when they walk out this church, we just throw them to the world and say, survive. Have you shown me one baby that's ever cleaned their dirty diaper? Show me one baby that you stripe him and you kick him and you whoop him because he messes his diaper up. I say, God help us. Send us people that's willing to change diapers. My Bible says that the elderly women to take the young women up by the hand and say, come on, honey, I'm going to teach you how to pray. I'm going to teach you how to live in this world and be victorious. I'm going to show you what this word says and how to read and understand it. Oh, bless God, honey, come on. I'm going to hold you up when you fall. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to intercede for you. I'm not going to keep dirt. I'm going to understand. I'm going to know. I'm going to feel what you feel because I've been there before. It says for the young, the elderly men to take those young men up by the hands and show them the way of God. Yeah. Why aren't we doing that today? We're too busy. We don't have time for God's stuff. I get in trouble for a lot of young couples on this, but I know what God's told me. And God confirmed it the first of the year. I was in a pastor's office. We were praying. And about after an hour and a half, I'm talking about God come down in that place. He spoke three different times to us. And at the last time, God was speaking directly to me through this man. And God told me he had called me to be a Caleb. I said, God, well, I need to go home. He told me some things. Told me not to look to the right, to the left, not to listen to talk, and not listen to this, and do not heed what they're trying to make me do, or this and that. I know what God had said to me to follow it. And I got to study, and I said, well, God, if you call me to be a Caleb, I need to find out all about Caleb if you call me to be a Caleb. I got in God's Word and got to study and looking. I said, God, I don't think I can come find out about Caleb that he knew what God had said, and he didn't deviate from it. He was only one of the only other ones that came back with a positive report. A positive report. And I know what God has told me today. We need a change. We need God. We need to get back to what the Bible says. We need some fathers. And mother, this is the fourth point I want to make today. God said we need some fathers. We need some mothers. There is probably many of you in this building here, and most churches today, if you were standing, if this was a Sunday morning all across America, there was not but a few people that could stand up and say, that's my spiritual father. This is my spiritual mother, because we have none. A man I met last August said that God spoke to him last year and said, most of my churches are pastored by orphans. And he said, the reason why so much jealousy and competition is behind the pulpit and in ministry today because they've never had a father and they're insecure. They've never been taught. They never had somebody take them by the hand and say, come on, honey, I'm going to show you how to live. I'm praying today we got a generation of young people. That's coming up in this world. And moms and dads left them to the television, left them to the neighbor, left them to the daycare. And we wonder why that we can't get their attention. We can't get them to get an education. They won't do nothing but what they want to do. You know what they've been taught there? Mom and Dad only did what they wanted. Oh, God. I tell you what, I got a burden today for our young people. I want to see moms and dads birthed with something. I want you to get a hold of this today, because Psalm says that the Word is an entrance into our souls with light. This is something today you can't say amen and I agree with and walk out this door and never do nothing about it. This is something today that you've got to get a hold of. You've got to get it lodged in your heart and your mind. And when you walk out of here saying, God, I want you to birth something in me, where it's a teacher, where it's a mentor, where it's a father, a mother, whatever it is, God, I want to be there for this young generation that's coming up. Because let me tell you something. I believe every one of us today has a certain number of people, kind, creed, color, whatever they are, that's assigned to each and every one of us. And if they die and go to hell, their blood is going to be applied to our hands. I want to tell you one illustration real quick today that I found out, I've studied, and its significance to this day. Let me tell you something. The importance about doing God's will and about this young generation. If you'll look in your Word and study, Elijah, before he ever called down fire from heaven, before he ever stopped and started the rain, before he done a lot of all those great miracles, he raised a fatherless boy from the dead. And we see a little later on in his ministry that he got sidetracked. And you know why he got sidetracked? You know why he ran from a little old woman? It's because he had quit praying and interceding. I tell people, prayer is what makes things go. And if it starts things and makes them go, it's going to keep prayer to keep it going. And if you'll look in God's Word, ever since he prayed the prayer, a pity, oh me, and having a pity party, and said, God, they done killed them all, and I'm the only prophet left. If you'll notice, from that day forward, his ministry went downhill. And God said, no, you need to get outside and look up, because I got thousands that hadn't bowed their knee to Baal. But we see later on one morning he was praying, and God spoke to him. He says, you go find a young man named Elisha. He got up from where he was praying and he went and he found a young man named Elisha. And the Bible says that he threw his coat on him and he said, come and follow me. We see the Bible said that Elisha went with him and he learned. He took out time. He was concerned about his soul and about what God wanted him to do in his life. He was a mentor. He was a teacher. But let me tell you, he just didn't stop there. He was something much more to him. Because at the end of his ministry, when Elijah was with Elijah, he asked him something. He says, Elijah, I want a double portion from you. And Elijah said, son, you've asked of me of a hard thing. But he said, nevertheless, if you're standing here today and you're with me and you see me go away, he said, that mantle will fall to you. But see, what we get mixed up, he wasn't saying in the natural, you're just standing here and you see me and you're with me in this spot. He was saying, son, if you know what's been going on between you and I, if you know who I am, if you've learned and you've been paying attention, he said, it will fall to you. And we know by the Word of God that he knew what was going on, because when the God of heaven come down and ascended Elijah, Elisha looked up and he didn't say, my teacher, or my mentor, he said, my father. Do you think today it's coincidence in the Bible? It says, true religion undefiled before God is to what? Visit the widows and the orphans. Oh, God. Let me tell you, we've got a bunch of people today. They don't want to go to the poor and the outcasts. No, they want to knock on those rich doors. They want that money. They're concerned about it. Let me tell you something today. My Bible tells me that who gives and is concerned of the poor and the widows, they will not like. When God saves them, puts them in their right mind, let me tell you, he can give them a job. He can give them more money than that rich man would ever turn loose from. Because he said, how it's put, I can't remember exactly how it's put, but him that's brought from much, how much more that he loves God. How much more that he loves God. But let me tell you something. My Bible says, and in these last days, he said again, but he said it in the Word then, and it's already happened. He said there was one going to come, and he was going to walk in the spirit of Elijah. Who was he? John the Baptist. He said, I am one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. Let me tell you something. If you read John, you say, Lord, if he walked in the spirit of Elijah, where's the mighty miracles? Where's the fire? Where's the healings? Where's the miracles? Where's the raising the dead at? Let me tell you something. John did much more than Elijah or Elisha ever did. You know why? Because he raised a fatherless generation and prepared the way to them to meet Jesus. Let me tell you, that is the greatest miracle and greatest thing that could ever happen is souls to come and run and get saved. To you to prepare the way that they might receive Christ today. Oh, hallelujah. And I believe today in this room, God is raising up men and women, not only to be teachers and preachers, but some moms, some spiritual moms, some spiritual dads. Because let me tell you something, we're raising up a group of teenagers today that's going to walk in the anointing of Elijah, or the spirit of Elijah, but they're going to be a Lazarus generation. You know why? Let me tell you, most of our kids today, they're dead. I'm telling them, they've shot up everything, they've snorted everything, they've done everything, they've saw it all. There's nothing else to be seen or done. They're dead. But God is saving boys and girls. I'm talking about this, they've literally fried their brain. And not only is He saving their souls, giving them a new heart. Bless God, He's setting their mind back in order. And they're preaching the Word of God. And they're going to stand and preach in the streets. Because let me say, they say, I've already been there and done that. I'm dead to the world. I'm dead. He said last night, God can use dead men. Bless God, that's why this generation that's rising up right now, they're going to go forth in Jesus Christ and they're going to conquer. They're going to have this world for Him to because he said, oh, I'm dead to the world. Oh, I'm dead to the world. I'm dead to the world. Oh, I'm dead to the world. I worship you, God. I worship you, God. You're worthy, Father. You're worthy, Father. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Or today. This morning. Praise God. Oh, I give you glory and honor and praise and power. You're worthy, God. You're worthy, God. You're worthy, God. You're worthy. Holy God, holy God, holy God. Holy God, holy God. I don't want you this morning to say, some of you are probably saying right now, well, I've been too far, I'm too old, or I'm too young, or whatever it is, or I'm too far, I've had too many mistakes, or whatever. Let me tell you something. Do you know what made the Joshua generation? 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness. That's what made them. Let me tell you something. We need to be looking and watching an example of people's lives that we want. That's why He gave us this. Because we've got so great a cloud of witnesses. He gave us these examples that we wouldn't fall in their pitfalls. When the ones who were successful, we would try to walk the way they walked. And Jesus is our supreme example. And if He was concerned about the kids, and saw the times the grown-ups with Him, they said, y'all get out of here. We're doing business. We're taking care of this. This is big business. Jesus rebuked them and said, suffer not the little children to come unto Me. I was at a revival here a few weeks ago. I leaned over my wife with tears in my eyes. And I said, they had two or three rows full of young people. And I said, I feel sorry for these young people. I said, this whole service and revival was geared to the older people. Folks, we ought to be bursting out with God. We could care less. We ought to be people that come in and care less what they sing and what they do and all this, as long as they're getting full of God. We ought to say, oh, let's get the kids up front. Let's see what God wants them to do tonight. Let's not be concerned and selfish of our own life, because let me tell you something. When we do, I'm afraid God's rebuking us. Father, I worship You tonight. I give You glory. Oh, God, I thank You that You're in this place. I thank You for Your anointing and Your Word, God, today. But I pray right now, Lord. I pray, God, for us, Lord, as a people, as one and whole, God. Lord, that You, God, would knit together everything that was said and everything that was just going to be said this week, God, to one whole, God, Lord, that it might. Lord, you said your word was a two-edged sword. And I pray today, God, right now, Lord, as we speak, Lord, that the things that's in our heart and this lot of the things that we had been doing, our attitudes, God, the things, God, we're too busy. Lord, I ask that sword reach in, God. I believe as we preach today, God, your Holy Ghost, the preacher, God, showed up in this place. Lord, that you was cutting us, God, with that two-edged sword. And God, I just pray today, God, we would allow that sword to do its work today, God. All those hidden things we think, all those things that's really not too, God, anxious to get out, Lord, you'd let us. God, you'd just come on in, God, today, and you'd get it out of us, because, God, we got a generation that's not going to wait another 20 years, God. We got a generation, God, if the devil gets them, God, there's no turning back, God. But, Lord, I'm thankful, God, that we have a God that understands, that's merciful and great. Oh, God, and I'm thankful, God, today, Lord, that we have the power to overcome, Lord. You said, Lord, we made us more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. And, God, we can take this gospel. We can take your word and the Holy Ghost and the shield of faith, God. We can gird ourselves up with the truth. We can shout our feet with the preparation of your gospel, God. And we can go out these four walls, God, and be suited for armor, God, to win every battle, God. You said that we might, God, quench all the fiery darts of Satan, not some, God. And I ask you, Lord, that warriors would rise up in this place right now. Moms and dads, teachers, God, mentors, Lord. People that will take care of babysitters, God. Oh, God, change diapers, God, anything. Lord, may our will be crumble, God. Lord, may it be humble, God. Oh, God, help us, Lord, to obey your voice, God. Oh, to hear what your Spirit is saying to us today, God, that you're calling us higher. The things in the past won't work for this generation, God, but we need to get along with you and hear what you're saying to do, God. What's going to capture their hearts, God, and their minds? And it's only you, God. Give the direction, God, I pray today. Oh, I worship you, Lord. If there's anybody in this place today, if you felt the tug of God and you'd like prayer today, we'd like to pray for you today. We'd like to you to come up here and just cry out to God, and we'll pray with you. If God's calling you to be a teacher, if God's calling you to be a mentor, if God's calling you to be a father or mother, you realize in the past that we have failed. But let me tell you something. As I told you, God said if we would just come to Him and ask for forgiveness, He said He was faithful and just, and He'll propel you into wherever He's calling you to now. Just because you failed in the past, just because we've come short, don't mean there's a stopping point now. Oh, we need to go on and be fervent for the rest of our life, but we've got left. Oh, God, I worship you today. I glorify your name. Oh, God, I pray. Move, 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 God, I pray. Come on, honey, help me pray today. Oh, God, come on, brother, you want to help us pray today? Oh, God, I worship you, Lord. I worship you, God. Worship your God. I worship your God.
My heart's right to bless children. Oh, and the ones that don't know how to be mothers, how to be wives.
Oh, God, if she stands, Lord, as we pray together, Lord, you said if two just touching anything, God, and agree, Lord, it shall be done. Lord, we pray right now, God, for all these mothers, God, and dads, God, Lord, that don't know how to be dads and moms. Oh, God, that's raising up children, God. Lord, you said single barren one, God, you said there's more children of the desolate, God, than they are the righteous, God. Oh, God, we stand in the gap today, God. Raise up, God, men and women, Lord. I'll take a stand for you. How to be mothers and fathers. How to be the true mother. How to be the priest of the home, God. Lord, that I cry out to you that will set their house in order, God, and say, I don't know about you, but me and my house, it will serve the Lord. Oh, God, move, God. Send this lost generation, God. Move, God, I pray. Have your Spirit, God, this week, God. Oh, God, the ones that's here, God, I pray, God. Oh, Lord, if they get a relationship with you, that when they go home, God, God, people would know and perceive, God, as I said a while ago, that they, God, Lord, the disciples, when they walked down the streets, people perceived, God, that they had been in the presence of Almighty God. Let them perceive, God, these young people, God, they just didn't go to camp this week for a vacation, just to have fun, God, though we're going to have fun in you. But, God, I pray, God, for a manifestation of your Holy Ghost, it would change, it would grip the hearts of these young people, and they would go out, God, they would minister, God, as young people, God. Oh, oh, God, it's not according to your word today. I believe it's happening, God, Lord. Oh, God, grip the hearts and minds of these moms and dads today. Oh, God, let us be sensitive to their needs, God. Let us be sensitive to your voice, God, and whatever you say, do. Oh, God, no matter what we think, God, let us obey, God. Let us obey, God. Let us obey, God. Let us obey. Oh, God, I worship you today. I worship you today.
Thinking about myself. I've grown cold, hard, indifferent.
Oh, God, I worship you. I want to tell you one more thing today before I pray for her. And I heard, and I had a hard time gripping with it for months, and God finally explained to me what he was saying. But a statement is made that this, it is God's grace and mercy that brings revival. But here's the part I couldn't understand. But it's the same amount of grace and it's mercy that withholds revival. I said in my soul, God, why would you want to hold revival? God, we say we're ready. But what God's been telling me, it's a lot of churches I go and preach in revival, that we're not ready for revival. We're not ready. There's too many things that we won't let go of. And the reason why, God says, we look at little things and different spots and segments, but God looks at the big picture. Until the Church of Jesus Christ gets set up and ordered the way He told me, first things first, and we're willing to have babysitters, we're willing to change diapers, we're willing to teach and to be fathers and mothers and steward a move of God, it will not happen. There are thousands of people have been saved in the last 4 years at Brownsville Revival. I'm talking about thousands or millions. But our reports is coming in each year say, where are those people? Mm-hmm. They got saved. We give them false security. They walked out them doors and a lot of them was never contacted again.
That's right.
And God is not going to bring people because the Bible said it is better not to ever known Him. To walk out of these four walls and deny Him and turn your back upon Him. And until the Church of Jesus Christ gets ready to babysit, to pray in intercession, to be fathers and mothers and steward a move of God, it will not come.
That's right.
It's just going to be little spots, hitting and miss, of God's glory and mercy falling. But if we want a big fit, if we want America to get ignited with God's flame, we better get ready and be willing to work. How many agree with me today on what God's saying?
Yes.
Oh, God, worship you. Worship you. Oh, God, I worship you, Lord. Oh, God, I praise you. I thank you for what you're doing in this place today, God. I ask you to bless this lovely sister, God, right now. I ask that your glory would fall over, God. I ask her that her eyes and her ears be open, her mind to you, God. And whatever area that you're calling her into, God, today, I pray that she be compelled into it, God. Speedily, God. I believe in these last days, God, we're going to see people, Lord. God, we're not going to have to go to Bible school, God. We're not going to do this and that because, God, you're going to grow us up speedily and maturely. You're going to bring revelation, God. Oh, God, it's never been heard before, God. It's going to be right from the throne room of God. And, Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, that she receive right now anointing, God, to carry her through in the birth, God. Whatever it is, God, that you're calling her into now, God. Oh, God, receive it now in the name of Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, settle on her, God, right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, courage, God, and strength, God, in her life right now, Lord.
for this journey, God, are you fixing to take her own, God? Oh, God, don't let her think about looking back, God, or think, not even think of she can't do it. But God, you never called us to anything, God, that we can't do, Lord, in you. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord, right now for it, Lord. Oh, I thank you, God, for the hearts and the willingness, God, today. Thank you for the openness, God. Thank you, God, that you've prepared the hearts and the minds of people today to receive your word, God. Oh, God, I give you glory and I give you the honor because it's yours, God, today. Ooh, saturate her right now, God, with the love of God, with the compassion of God. Oh, God, let her hands be your hands, God. Let her feet be your feet. Let her heart be your heart, God. Ooh, let the compassion of Jesus, God, be birthed within her, God. Oh, God, that people, Lord, would be allowed to interrupt her routine, God. Oh, let us never be too busy, God, that we can't be interrupted. Because every while, look in your word, God. Oh, Jesus always had time to be interrupted. Oh, God, move in us, Lord, right now. Change our hearts, our way of thinking, God, into your ways, God. Because you said in your word, God, your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not ours, because they are much higher, God. But, Lord, I believe we can be in a place in our mind with you, God, that your thoughts can be our thoughts. We'll walk in your ways, God. Oh, our steps will be ordered by you, God. And I worship you, and I praise you, and I thank you, God. Ooh, God, move in this house tonight. Move in this house, God. Saturate her heart, God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.